right, we're back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Oh, boy. Diehard fans are fired up this morning. Rich and Milton, Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie. There's like a lot more.
I might watch Die Hard this year. I feel like I've been annoyed by this debate forever because I've not been involved in it. I might have to watch it just to have some sort of stake in the game here because it's going to continue. Well, this debate will never be settled.
No, it truly will not unless the people that wrote that movie come out and say yes or no. Have they? Who knows?
They know just having people talk about it, I guess, will keep that, what's that called? Residual money, what's it called?
Yeah, residuals.
Whatever Jerry Seinfeld still lives on, that's what they're going for.
All right, our Insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. It's Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, host of the Ross Tucker podcast, Westwood and analyst. Ross, have you ever played in a tie game?
No, because I played football and basketball. I mean, I don't know. Maybe in soccer. I played soccer till I was 11. Mm-hmm. So maybe like way back in the day.
That's different.
I don't remember
it. It's different.
Yeah. No. Like high school, college, NFL, no, because we always had, you know, some type of rule to keep playing until there was an outcome. And mm-hmm.
You didn't have Brian Dable question, punting, okay? From the other side of half?
Here's my question. So in the U.S., okay, there is an intense disdain for ties because, you know, we didn't grow up like that. Yeah, I think internationally I'm getting to the point soon here, I promise, as it relates to Canada. But I think, like, internationally, like, I have a lot of listeners to my podcast, right, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, that they're from Europe. And they don't get my disdain for ties at all because they grew up with draws, as they call it, just being so commonplace. Like, it's one of the three outcomes, and actually it happens quite often. So they're just so used to it that they're like, yeah, I mean, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes you draw. What's the big deal? But because soccer is not like our sport in the United States, we didn't grow up that way. And so when we tie, everybody feels like they lost. Mm-hmm. Whereas in like Europe, when they tie, everybody kind of feels okay with it. You know, it's like, not that great. It's not what we wanted, but it's not a bad result. My question is, because hockey is the number one sport, and because back in the day there used to be ties in hockey, how do Canadians feel about ties? I'm like very intrigued now.
I don't know if we have real hot takes on ties, to be honest. I don't really remember.
So you don't have like an intense disdain like American.
It's probably not as strong. I think there's a little apathy, like we don't really care. I think so the NHL moved off the tie, I don't know, probably what, almost 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't really remember when there were ties. It probably left something to be desired, but then they decided that ties weren't good enough. You needed a winner. I don't know if it was for gambling, but you needed a winner. And now I feel like the ties, not that it would help the NHL, but if they had 3 points for a win and 1 point for a tie or whatever, if they actually made it a little bit different, you'd probably have a more accurate reflection of like how the teams finished the season. We're looking at the Maple Leafs chasing down the Boston Bruins, and they're like 4 points back, even though Boston's won, what, 16 of their first 20 games or something like that. And it seems like they shouldn't be in the race, but because they keep getting these loser points in tied scenarios, they get to stay in. And it's nice for late Maple Leaf fans right now, but like it just feels inauthentic when you lump in these extra points. And I guess that's born out of the tie. But I guess we don't experience many ties anymore because you're right, it's not really relevant in North American sports.
Okay, so my question then is, can you just real quick, like, I know at the end of regulation, they have an overtime period. Yeah. And then after that, it goes to a shootout. Mm-hmm. And then what's the point system? Obviously, if you win, you get how many? It's different points if you win in regulation versus shootout, right?
No, it should be, but it's not. So what happens, each team gets a point if it goes to overtime, and then you're playing for a bonus point. So if the regulation victory was worth 3 points and the whole game was worth 3 points, right? You go to overtime, it's 2-1. It would have a more accurate reflection, but you go to overtime, you're just playing for one bonus point, and you can survive as a team that underperforms if you just get it to overtime and keep banking these loser points.
Okay, so you already got 1 point just for getting it to overtime. So you kind of get a point for the tie,
yeah,
and then you get an extra point if you win it once it goes to overtime.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I'm kind of down with that because then you're still heavily incentivized to get that extra point in overtime, but it's not like you get nothing if you lose in a shootout.
I guess
I kind of think they have it right.
The problem is
I don't know anything.
The problem is that, like, the late game scenario, they start playing for the tie and they're not going for it in the final minutes of the game. I don't know if that's really, really relevant. I don't know if that happens all that much, but sometimes you can see teams like verbal or non-verbally make the agreement, okay, let's just get this to overtime to get these points. And that's kind of lame. But, you know, the NHL has more issues than their current points format, but a more
But once they get to overtime, it's like, okay, let's each get a point and get to overtime. But then once they get to overtime, don't they really want that point?
Well, here's the issue, is that some of them think they could get the point easier in a shootout, and they don't play. They play a defensive brand in overtime when it's supposed to be, you know, free-flowing and open and not winning a game through artificial means, which would be the shootout. So, you know, that was their thinking, right? They thought all this stuff would work out beautifully, but there's some drawbacks, and I think teams don't put an honest effort forth all the time in certain situations, depending on their strengths, and that's probably the biggest issue.
Okay, I have an idea. Anybody hockey listening to me, hockey people in Toronto, Gary Bettman, rather than a shootout, once you go to overtime, after every, I don't know if it's 3 minutes, how long is overtime?
Five.
Okay. Once you go to overtime, after every 2 minutes, each team takes a guy off the ice.
Yep. I'd be down with that. They're three aside right now. You go to 2-1.
After 2 minutes, you go to 3-on-3 after 4 minutes. You're going to get a goal, right? There is no shootout, so you're not playing for shootout. You're playing to score a goal because at some point it's going to be goalie against goalie.
then we get into freak show territory. But, yes, I guess eventually we would get to that point.
Yeah, I think I just solved hockey. You're welcome.
You may have. Or at least the issue of ties, which you never experienced. We went way down the rabbit hole there, but that was the reality.
That was awesome, though. I just learned a lot. I love that. We talked through it. That was great radio, in my opinion, for my personal edification. But I'm the football expert. What do you want to know? Eagles are really good.
No, I mean, I agree. Okay, let's start with the Eagles. Is Jalen Hurts the MVP front runner after that performance?
Yeah, I think he is right now. I think he is. It's kind of wild to think about it, but, you know, Tua did not play very well. We saw what happened with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and I think we're in a spot now where I think at this point, yeah, I think Jalen Hurts is the front runner. After what he did against the Packers on Sunday night, and then again what he was able to do yesterday against the Titans, they're the best team in football. They have the best record. He's playing at an extremely high level. He hasn't really had a bad game yet. I think the only argument against him is probably that the team around him is really good. But that shouldn't be your argument against somebody being the MVP. I mean, like every year the MVP, the team around them is really good, right? Man, that's not a good argument.
Let's do some more learning in hockey.
Is Ailish even there today? Ailish, are you alive?
She's there. I just want to get to this.
I'm just letting Jessica
get to one of my ideas. Sure, all my ideas are Ailish flowing here.
I thought Ailish was like a hockey person. She didn't say anything about my phenomenal idea. Now we're 12 minutes in. I haven't even heard her voice. I was worried that Ailish died. So, okay, Ailish, alive. We're good.
Ailish, do you want to? I'll do the money on the board thing.
Yeah,
so, in hockey, You play your old team. You mm-hmm. put money on the board. Whoever gets the money is who, you know, scores the game winner, the goaltender that stands on its head, whatever. So what's the equivalent in football? A.J. Brown goes back, plays the Tennessee Titans. He could have won his own money, I guess, based on his performance. But what sort of stakes are at play when he's playing his former team? Like, is there something in football like that?
So hold on a second. You guys keep doing these things that I need to know more about. What is putting money on the board?
Okay, so if you got traded in the offseason, the team that traded you, if you play them in the season next year.
Like a revenge game.
If you're in a revenge spot, you put money on the board. So if you get the victory, you have to pay out money that you put up on the board. So it's an incentive, I guess, for the team, but it's really more of a rallying point or something to get excited about. So let's say a third liner scores the overtime winner or the shootout winner in the game, they would probably get the money on the board because they were responsible for helping you get your revenge spot.
I love that. I'm not familiar with that in the NFL, but I can speak to this probably more than almost anybody. You are absolutely more motivated against your former team because no matter how it ended, you believe that they didn't value you or did you wrong, right? Like, even though A.J. Brown got traded and got a lot of money and whatever, and he's in a better spot, the Titans still didn't think he was worth that money, right? Like, the Titans still didn't think he was worthy of the money that he got. And so that bothers you. You know, he's from the South. I think he liked living in Nashville. There's no state income tax in Tennessee. I mean, I think he was happy to be a Titan in Nashville, no state income tax, down South. Nashville's like the place to live now in the Southeast. I mean, I think he really wanted to be there. So he was, and he said that. He has said that publicly. So I think he was very motivated yesterday, very frustrated. I know for me, first time that happened, I actually started on Thanksgiving for the Cowboys against Washington. And this is probably a month after Washington cut me. So I got cut by Washington, like fired, not even traded, fired, picked up by the Cowboys. A month later, I'm starting for Washington. And like in my head, I'm starting for Dallas. I was trying to think about how I might be able to, like, on an outside run, take the defensive back and throw him into Steve Spurrier's legs. Like that was a thought that I had. So number one, you want to do that. Number two, you want to prove it to like the other coaches. And certainly you want to prove it to the other guys. Like, it's a little bit weird, I'll say, because you were kind of friends with them. Mm-hmm. You're kind of teammates. Like, it doesn't happen in high school. Doesn't happen in college, where it's like a month earlier, like I was in the locker room with them. I had been teammates with them for a couple years. And now, like, I was trying to kill them and I was cutting them dirty and doing things that they didn't like. And they were getting mad at me and I didn't care because I have a lot of friends from high school and college and, you know, the heck with them. But yeah, it's wild.
All right. Speaking of having a little extra motivation, Joe Burrow now 3-0 against Mahomes. He's got the Chiefs number. How much of this is mental on Mahomes' part or slash the Kansas City Chiefs that they just can't find a way to get over cool guy Joe?
Well, the one thing, can I say this? Because I heard this a lot of places. You know, the one team has to win every once in a while for it to be a rivalry. Mm. It's only been 3 games. Hey, Bengals fans, how about relaxing a little bit? How about talking to me when you've ever won a Super Bowl mm-hmm. ever in your franchise history? I mean, Bengals fans, if I had a dollar for every Bengals fan that said yesterday, it's not really a rivalry if it's this one-sided. Hey, Bengals, you know how many years you guys have sucked? I mean, come on, are you serious? Like, and you sucked for like the whole 90s, like the entire decade, okay? Like, it was only a couple years ago where your boy Zach Taylor won, what, like 3 games in 2 years? They're getting a little bit big for their britches here. I get it. They've beaten the Chiefs the last 3 times. Mm-hmm. They deserve a lot of credit for that. Would that make me very nervous if I played the Chiefs in the postseason? Yes, very. Is Travis Kelce going to fumble again? I don't know. I will say this. Joe Burrow is a stud, probably number three for me right now in the MVP vote. And also, Lou Anarumo should absolutely get a head coaching job. The D coordinator for the Bengals, he's a stud.
I think there might be a mental side for, you know, like Ailish mentioned, Patrick Mahomes, but I feel like to go up against Patrick Mahomes, you need to be headstrong in a way that only maybe Joe Burrow is. Like, I feel like there's like a defeatist attitude maybe when you go down to Kansas City and you feel like there's no way back, but maybe Burrow's greatest strength is he just doesn't care what the situation is.
Yeah, I mean, I interviewed him after the AFC Championship game last year, and I just couldn't believe how relaxed he was. You know, it was like 2 minutes after the game. I mean, well, to put it in perspective, I interviewed Joe Mixon within like a minute of the game ending when the Bengals won and they kicked that field goal to win. And Joe Mixon was crying and like saying how appreciative he was to the Brown family for giving him this chance and how much this was for the people of Cincinnati and all of these things, right? Mm-hmm. And then Joe Burrow was like, yeah, you know, it was an exciting game. I was glad we were able to win, but we kind of expected to do this. Like, it was like I went from one guy crying and being so emotional to Joe Burrow acting like, you know, he was at lunch having a tea or something. So I will say, I think the other thing about the Bengals, how about them 3rd and 11 throwing the ball there? That's the way you beat the Chiefs. You don't let Mahomes get the ball again. That was awesome.
Yeah, there's an air of confidence and a mental fortitude in Joe Burrow. And, I mean, it's fun to watch, and it looks like they're kind of peaking at the right time. Okay, let's talk about the Niners, who will now have no Jimmy G for the rest of the season with the broken ankle. Is there any, I don't know, I don't know if they're done. My futures bet might be. But is there a way to upgrade the position or a way that they can actually, like, continue to find some momentum here without Jimmy G?
So what's interesting about a rookie like this, they are going to go ahead and get tested every week with Purdy now, right? So like every week now, every team they play, they're going to go back, they're going to watch his college tape. They're going to see what he struggled with, and he's going to get a new look, new defense. There'll be a week where they just drop everybody. There'll be a week where they blitz the crap out of him, right? So they're going to keep trying to figure out what Purdy's weakness is the next few weeks. I thought he looked really good. Definitely a difference. But in fairness to him, there's also a difference when you get all the reps all week, right? So he'll get all the reps moving forward and have a chance to really feel comfortable. He looked really good. He also looked like he was 16.
The story of the 1 p.m. hour, I think, was Minnesota in the New York Jets. Minnesota finding a way yet again to get a victory, move to 10-2. Do you have any take-home message or take-home point of reference from that game? What sticks out from the Jets? Maybe should have beat the Minnesota Vikings, but the Vikings just winning once again.
I think my takeaways are the Vikings are living right this year because they have won every single close game. The only two games they lost, they got massacred by the Eagles and Cowboys. I've never seen anything like it. And a lot of their games have been close, and they've won all of them. That just doesn't happen. I mean, the Jets had like 100 more yards of offense. But the Jets had two turnovers. Vikings had none. The Vikings were 3 for 3 with touchdowns in the red zone. The Jets were like 2 for 6. I mean, the Vikings are living right. So my takeaways are it's crazy how the Vikings are winning every close game. And the bar has been raised for the Jets with Mike White. Like, Jets fans should not be happy about that game. They should not. They're past the, it was a good performance, we were right there. They're good enough where they should expect to win those games.
Yep, almost outgained them 2-1. And the stat that really sticks out for me, the Eagles are just one win ahead of the Vikings, but they're ahead by 102 net points. So, I mean, that means something, but also all this success in one-score games, that means something too. I mean, and what I think what's most impressive about the Vikings, if you want to call it impressive, is that they found a way through different means to do it, whether it's a heroic performance by Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins making the right throws, the defense as it did on Sunday or yesterday, standing up when Mike White was driving on them multiple times. It just seems like they find a different way every single time. And I think it says something about their team in that, you know, they're maybe not as good as the record is, but also that to a man, they can find a way and pick each other up.
Yeah, I think it's great. I would also say it's not sustainable that they win every single close game like this, right? Like, hey, as long as they keep it going, that's great, but they're going to lose. Because it's also not like they have, like, Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow to be winning all these close games, right? Like, they don't have that kind. I mean, Cousins, I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's having a good year. But he's not the type of quarterback that you would expect, oh, yeah, his team's going to win well more than their fair share of close games.
Ross, last one for you here. Packers break a little record with most regular season wins in NFL history, beating the Bears yesterday. But my question is it going to be too late for the Packers here? Can they go on a run and make some noise, or have they missed the boat?
It's too late. Mm. Yeah, no, it's too late. They're not going on a run. Even if they got to 9-8, that's not going to make the playoffs. Especially with that tie by the Commanders and the Giants. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think those teams will get to 9 wins, but they'll be 9-7-1 now. They only need to win 2 more games, each of them. So, I mean, the Packers could win out and still not make the playoffs at this point.
Aaron Rodgers with the broken thumb doesn't seem to help. Okay, before I let you go, 20 days away from Christmas Day, myfrontpagestory.com, give us a quick sell. Why am I listening?
Yeah, well, listen,
and I want it?
I mean, listen, I already solved hockey, okay?
Yes.
I solved your beloved sport 20 minutes ago. Now I'm going to solve all your holiday issues.
Perfect.
You don't know what to get your wife or your mom. I know you don't. Everybody listening, you don't really know. I don't really know. I got my wife some garbage stuff she's not even going to like. Go to myfrontpagestory.com. They write a story. A professional writer writes a story about your wife or your mom or whoever. It's unbelievable. They get the pictures from you. It's on the cover of the newspaper. It's framed. It looks beautiful. She will cry when she gets it. It's the coolest, most sentimental gift ever. When she reads the quotes about how much you mean to her or how much she means to you, she will absolutely love it. And then she hangs up in the house forever. So anytime you get an argument with your wife for the rest of your marriage, you go, oh, really? Did you get a story written about me? No, I don't remember. No, you didn't. Myfrontpagestory.com. Myfrontpagestory.com. Maybe I'll get one written about how I solved hockey live on the radio with the taking guy. By the way, I go to Hershey Bears games in AHL.
Oh, yeah.
We have tickets. When they're a man down, when they're both a man down, that is so fun. Like, it's so much faster and more exciting. I mean, look, the whole thing's fast and exciting. Mm-hmm. Hockey's amazing in person. But when it's 4-on-4 or 3-on-3, that's what they should do in overtime. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm not.
You're not. Ross Tucker using that Princeton education to solve many problems this morning on the show. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Hey, dudes.
I was Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Westwood One analyst, and check out myfrontpagestory.com for all your holiday needs. And that insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Wow, we went through a lot in that one, eh?
A lot there. A lot there. I'm glad we could solve hockey. That was great.
Solve hockey. Ross Tucker.
Check mark.
Goodness. Okay, speaking of hockey, couple big games in the NHL tonight. Bruce Cassidy's return to Boston.
It's a big one.
That's a big one to circle. And obviously, McDavid / Ovi showdown is always a must-watch. Maybe some wake-and-rake picks from some of those games. Your Toronto Raptors face off against Boston Celtics tonight. A huge matchup for them that are looking to kind of right the ship here after quite a tough week.
Yeah.
One game that shows some promise on Saturday night, but they got to string together some dominant performance. They got the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Magic in a back this game. This week, they have three games in 5 days.
Yep. It's pretty much every other, right?
Every other, which is nice because they staggered Leafs and Raptors this week for us.
I think we're getting into a bit of a groove with staggered games, which is very helpful.
So maybe your wake and rake pick is from that, and you also have Monday Night Football as we teed up Saints and Bucks and two World Cup games to go through. Is your pick from World Cup?
What's my pick from the World Cup?
Is your pick from the World Cup?
I haven't decided yet.
Oh, you look a little nervous.
I don't feel very confident, but maybe the lack of confidence will help because I've been very confident about the picks that have not gone well.
Well, maybe there's a couple in the text line as well that are World Cup related. And
okay.
Spoiler.
We'll take a look.
There are. We'll do the Wake and Rake next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Breaking down the top stories in the NHL every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
Time for the Wake and Rake. Celtics, Raptors, Saints, Bucks, World Cup. We are sprinkling it around the board. Lots of texts in here for your anchor submissions. You just spent 5 minutes of silence.
Yeah, I got a little anxiety here.
Looking a little bit nervous about your selection.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle right now that I'm trying to figure out. I want to bet this Brazil-South Korea game.
Okay.
I just don't know exactly how.
Okay.
I like the over 2.5, but it's a little juiced and it's like still risky. Brazil could win this one 2-0. I kind of like both teams to score, but I don't know if I can trust it. But I have found something.
Okay. And your alternative pick I really liked, which we'll just give
we'll
away
save
for
that.
Free.
We'll save that.
We'll give away for free, but you have selected yours. I've selected mine and we will go through the anchor submissions to pick.
Should I start? Just get mine out of the way?
Just get yours out of the way.
In the spirit of getting things done early, because I've blown up parlays early, we're going to go with an early line here in this Brazil-South Korea game.
God.
First half Asian handicap. Brazil minus a half goal. So they got to be leading going into the break. Now, this goes against the trend
that
we've seen there at the World Cup, where a lot of the second half scoring has been, you know, is when things get out of hand. Second half. Tired legs. It's been a long tournament. But I don't think Brazil can mess around here. I think Brazil is going to be on the front foot.
My Brazil.
I think your Brazil will get a first half goal. They will lead at least 1-0 at the break. And then whatever happens in the second half happens in the second half. Then I can outright cheer for South Korea.
Okay.
Brazil, first half, minus a half goal, near minus 110. That's the latest World Cup pick.
All right. I wish you the best of luck, Justin.
Thank you, Ailish.
The other World Cup game, the 10 a.m. slot, Japan and Croatia, and then obviously Brazil and South Korea at 2 p.m. We do have some wake and rake picks from World Cup, so I might as well read those now.
Let's do it.
Love Japan over Croatia as a gut play. This is Cody and St. Catharines. Just a gut play.
I would love it more than anything else. I need Japan to get through. They're one of my teams. But I also have an invested interest in them maybe losing in the next round, getting further than the round of 16. So I would love to see it. I feel like Croatia's frustrating because they're old. They schooled Canada. Can they school anyone else? They got outplayed by Belgium. This one's just confusing to me. I don't know what to expect.
Side note, have you seen Miss Croatia?
I have not.
That's all I got to say. Take a look at Miss Croatia.
Just, I can only imagine.
She's been at the games.
It's a lovely place.
And she has certainly made an impact.
She's made an impact?
At the games.
Okay.
She's quite noticeable.
I will check that out.
It's a free treat for you.
Thank
type you. In Miss Croatia. Okay. Rich and Melton also had a wake and rake pick. Brazil to win by 1.5 or Japan, Croatia under 2.5. What do you think of that?
I like them both. I do like them both. That's my gut for both of them, that Brazil wins this one fairly easily. And I also think that Croatia-Japan is going to be tight. But Japan has just exploded for goals out of nowhere. And for that reason, I can't trust it.
Richie Milton also added to his text, Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie. Office, Christmas party, reunion of a strange husband and wife, villains being thrown off the burning tower.
There was only one Christmas thing there.
Okay. Here is one that kind of encompasses all of these things. Well, morning, guys. Here's a spicy parlay. Japan to win, Brazil to win in full time, Colorado, Edmonton, Coyotes, all plus 1.5, Celtics minus 1, and Golden State Warriors minus 9.5. $700 pays $41,000.
That's like if Ron and Markham and Ron and Juliana plus us plus everybody else got together on one, you know, like what's Ryan Reynolds looking for? Sugar daddy?
Yes.
Someone who's big spender, $700 parlay, mm-hmm. just got together. That's like, that was like a mega wake and rake, a monster wake and rake.
Okay, those were all of your wake and rake submissions from the World Cup. Let's move over to, actually, we have to, I forgot about this. We have to do our pick aside results. So Austin Mackey was on the show on Friday, holding down the fort, a one-man show. He selected Titans plus 4.5, Colts plus 10.5. Oof. And Vikings minus 3. Vikings minus 3 was the only pick that hit for him. And we had Steelers minus 1, which hit. And we lost on Chiefs minus 2 and Jets plus 3, which was a heartbreaker. So we both got one win.
Yeah, we went for the jugular. We stand by the pick. Jets plus 3 should have cashed. They outgained the Minnesota Vikings 486 to 287. And yet the Vikings still comfortably cover the number.
It's a rough one.
The Vikings have some sort of voodoo going.
Our score is now 17 to 13. We just all went up 1 point, then that sucks. All right.
We move forward.
Okay, so let's do Saints and Bucks. So you have your same game parlay to give us?
No, I really don't. I was confused by this. I think I would take from the text line because these two teams, I've had a lot of trouble figuring out exactly who they are. I feel like my gut instinct again would be to bet on Tampa Bay, but every time I do that, they lose. So I feel like I'm going to sit this one out.
I strongly believe in the under tonight.
Okay.
Low scoring game earlier when they matched up. I think it was week one maybe when they played really early in the season. They both have feeble offenses.
They do have feeble offenses.
The under, I believe the last time I saw it was at 44.5. Oh, it has now moved to 41.5. People know. But yeah, I just don't think it's going to be an explosive offensive game tonight.
Okay, so let's say...
How about I give you some from the text line that we can wake and rake?
I'd prefer that.
Okay, so we have quite a few from Monday Night Football. A lot of people are feeling Alvin Kamara tonight. We've got Big Mac, Alvin Kamara... Over 28.5 receiving yards. He's gone over this total in 6 of the last 8 games. They really only have 2 options on offense, and Kamara is 1.5 of them.
I'm almost certain one of those 2 games that he didn't go over is the one where we chose him
no,
to go over.
One time I chose him in the wake and rake, and it hit. I remember
he cost
this.
Us a wake and rake once, too.
Okay, so you don't like that.
So we've been on Kamara, and I guess that has yielded good things. I just have no opinions on this.
Okay, no problem.
So if you want it, you go.
I'm just going to read them all. Orangeville has spoken. Take the Bucks money line or on the points. Orangeville, the whole city of Orangeville, just texted in.
I love that.
Okay. another one, we have Alvin Kamara over on receiving yards, 30.5. I'd also take Croatia for the win. That's Jag and Scarborough. And I believe the rest come from basketball.
Let's do it.
Or hockey. Here's Ron and Markham. Good morning. For today's Wake and Rake, I'm going to take the Raps and Celtics over 227.5. In the last 5 games, the Celtics are averaging 126 points a game. In the last 5, the Raps are averaging 110 points a game. Look for both teams to fill the bucket tonight. Juliana loves the Warriors, surprise, in this spot against the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers are coming off a road loss to the Portland Trailblazers, and they are without their best player, Tyrese Haliburton. Take the Warriors minus 9.5, Ron and Markham.
So we talked about the over between the Raptors and Nets on Friday. We did not bet it. It actually didn't hit, I don't think, despite the Nets putting up what, 75 points in the first half?
Something like
Somehow
that.
That didn't hit because the Nets went into cruise control, winning 114 to 105. I believe the over, in all likelihood, hit between the Raptors and Magic on Saturday with 129 combined points. I'm kind of feeling Raptors overs as well, especially against a team like Boston. However, Boston from an offensive perspective. Mm-hmm. However, Boston's a very good defensive team. This could turn into a bit of a slog if it's these teams doing, I think, what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So my inclination is the under.
How about your other pick that I liked a lot, Justin?
So we know the Raptors' struggles in the first quarter. I believe they've only won 3 of their last
14 or something.
15, I believe, yeah. Third quarters. First quarters, rather. And right now it's just sitting at a half point. Boston Celtics to win the first quarter. And then you can cheer for the Raptors for the remaining 3 quarters. I don't think that's too bad
mm-hmm.
of a bet.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the start should be their focus, though. So does that yield good results? Or are the Raptors just a team that struggles to get a read on exactly what the opposition is doing right away and they have to make adjustments? That probably is the case as well, but I do think they're going to be ready for this one, given that it's the Celtics at home. They've got to be ready. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the reason why I'm a little reluctant, but I would rather play that than the same game under.
Well,
or over, sorry.
Matt in Toronto has a Raptors pick. Big Macs every day, all day, baby, nugs. Taking the over in the Raps game and the over of 200 pounds for me after I eat a menu in a week. Matt in Toronto, that was about what you would do with $250 from McDonald's. So he likes the over in the Raps game as well.
100%. Okay, that's 2 for it. That usually breaks any ties or any disagreement.
All right, a couple more here. So morning is Giovanni from Brampton. Best bet tonight is from the Monday Night Football game. Saints and Bucks are always a tight, low-scoring game. No difference today, so I'm taking the under. I didn't see that one before.
What do you think about potentially teasing it up a little bit?
I could be interested in that because we're getting a lot of under picks.
Okay. Like get it back to that 44.
Yep.
And then we could talk about putting together a parlay.
I like that a lot. Okay, couple more here. Cody in St. Catharines. Morning, guys. Best bet for tonight is Luka over 2.5 threes. It's pretty much a lock. He's done it in 5 out of 6. It's at a solid number. Also, the Japan over Croatia. As a gut play, Japan is super technical and should match Croatia well. And Eichel over shots is another solid play. Good luck today.
2 Japan gut plays.
That's the same person. Oh. I just read it twice.
I was going to say, I really
because it was like a 3-pointer.
Not that I would advocate to put that in, but I'm looking for Japan support.
All right, 2 more here. Parlay Poppy with a short yet sweet pick. Croatia to win, period. Japan has had a nice run, but all good things must come to an end. Croatia is big, strong, and gritty. The Japanese have no chance. Parlay that with Giuliano's Warriors, and that's your prosciutto pound of the day. Parlay Poppy. I love that he just knew Giuliano would pick the Warriors.
I love that we have characters and that Giuliana
is one of them.
A grade school girl is a part of our betting segment.
She's in high school. Does that count as grade school? Yeah, okay. We got a text in that's also going to be mine, so we're gonna share the brain. It was Allie in Toronto who picked the one that I'm going to pick, so we're both going for it here. Caps and Oilers, over 6.5 goals. I teed it up. It's McDavid and Ovechkin. Jack Campbell, projected to be a net, has been just abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams can fill the net. It's at 6.5. I'm locking that in with Allie as my Wake and Rake pick for today. So over 6.5 in Capitals and Oilers. So we need to pick.
Impossible to argue with yours. 2 of the best offensive talents, 3, 4, 5. I don't know how many you want to count, but that's a lot of offense and that's a lot of struggles in net. I don't know if Darcy Kuemper will be playing. I think he left the last game with an injury.
So it does not look like it's him.
It seems like that's a great opportunity for goal scoring. I like that.
Okay, so do you want to pick from the Raptors or Monday Night Football?
I think we should pick for the Raptors and put together a small little Monday Night Football same game parlay. We'll just go Bucks teased up under, Kamara over receiving yards, and just a little community play.
Okay, that's your same game parlay.
Yeah.
So what do you want to pick from Raptors Celtics then?
Well, usually the over breaks the tie. I don't love it. I don't know how you feel about it. I don't know how you feel about the other options, if there are even other options.
I really liked your Bucks in the first quarter. My Celtics in the first quarter.
But it's not a community play.
Then we're picking over in the Raptors-Celtics game.
There's nothing else for the Raptors game in there.
Multiple texts in about that, and
there's nothing else for the Raptors game.
There's nothing else from the Raptors in there.
So we got to take the over.
Well, don't seem so excited about it.
Well, listen, I'm the weak link here.
Yeah, I picked the anchor all last week.
Well, I don't want to pick this either, but we have to. Rules are rules.
So let's do it.
Unless we go somewhere else. We could do a Bucks money line. I don't feel great about that.
What about the under in the Bucks that we're going to tease up?
Under 44.5? So the original over-under?
Yes. Let's see if it's within our range.
It is.
Okay. What if we did a four-leg parlay?
I mean, we could. Nothing's stopping us. We could also tease down the Raptors total. It's your call.
Let's go with what the text line wants. This is a community parlay. It's going to be over 227 for the Raptors and the Celtics.
By rule, we have to.
Over 6.5 in the Capitals and Oilers is my pick. And Brazil on the first half, Asian handicap, minus a goal.
Minus a half goal.
Altogether, that's 549 plus 549 for your wake and rake today.
I mean, it flows good. I kind of like that pick. I don't know if we got there smoothly, but I like the parlay in the end.
Okay. That's your wake and rake. You got a couple more winners and losers you want to do?
Yeah, let's do some winners and losers to close. I think we didn't touch on the World Cup at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably should. Olivier Giroud is a winner. He sets the French national record, surpassing Thierry Henry with his 52nd goal for Les Bleus in a win over Poland in the round of 16. Probably doesn't happen if Karim Benzema doesn't get hurt and misses the World Cup, but a team like France mm-hmm. has all the depth in the world, and they can lean on a 36-year-old, I think, to step in and just set a French national record. Pretty good. But the biggest winners from the World Cup are the fans mm-hmm. and those watching, because we have an incredible start to the quarterfinal laid out for us here with England and France and Argentina and Netherlands meeting after the first four round of 16 games.
I love it. I got two from World Cup adjacent. Ishmael Kone signing potentially, reportedly, a deal to head over to the English club Watford from CF Montreal.
Yep.
I think that's a winner.
This is exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. We need our players to be playing in against higher competition, having higher ambition, to quote one Goran Dragic. I think it's a great thing. Having him playing the midfield in the Premier League will ready him in 4 years' time for the World Cup. Now, it's not a sure thing that he gets a sizable role. These things they don't always work out when players go to the Premier League. In particular, Richie Larea went to England. He came mm-hmm. back, and then he joined TFC again. So we don't know exactly if this is going to work out, but different situation with Kone being such an exciting prospect type.
Yeah.
And if he can fit in there at Watford, he's going to be ready for the World Cup in 4 years.
And even if you're not getting as much time on the field, like you're playing, you're practicing with some of the best, you're putting in an opportunity where you're mm-hmm. in more of a professional setting, and that's how you learn.
Yeah, it'll probably take him a while to get into the first team.
I think so.
But if he gets there, it's really, really good. And if he doesn't quite, gets good experience, moves on. But again, he needs to be playing, and this is a step in the right direction. Same thing for Alistair Johnson, who did sign with Celtic, and he's going to be playing meaningful minutes.
That's right. That was my next one.
In Scotland.
He's headed from CF Montreal as well over to Scotland. And
CF Montreal, big winners.
They're in the news.
Or losers for losing two really good players. But if you're producing great talent, that says good things about what you're doing.
Those are two winners for me.
Couple more. Deion Sanders is a winner. He's going from Jackson State to Colorado, getting a big NCAA job. Mm-hmm. Not to say that he shouldn't, but this guy wasn't really thought of as a coach for a long time until he took up this gig with Jackson State, and now he's moving to the Pac-12. We'll have a chance to have a big, big impact. Pretty exciting to see Deion Sanders, who's a big, big personality. We should get a lot of good content out of Deion Sanders having a bigger role in the NCAA landscape.
Rory McIlroy was set to put aside his differences with Greg Norman, but then Norman accused him of being brainwashed by the PGA Tour.
Wow.
And McIlroy says, I thought, you know what? I'm going to make it my business now to be as much as a pain in the arse as possible.
Another loser, or group of losers, Commanders, Giants, overbetters.
Ugh.
So 40.5 was the line. Talk about low-scoring games. It's headed to overtime 2020, so you're thinking, automatically, this is a cash.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, four punts, as we've gone through with Ross Tucker and we were talking about earlier, four punts and a missed field goal in overtime protects the over. That is a bad beat.
Last week, I talked about the podcast with Travis Kelce and his brother, where they revealed that Patrick Mahomes had kind of cheated his way in the draft process.
Right, right.
Well, Andy Reid was asked about this at the podium, and his response is kind of loser-esque. Here you go.
Be aware of it, but Patrick on, I guess, Travis's show explained that Nagy gave him, I guess, some of the plays and the checks before the top 30 visit. Are you aware of this? Were you a part of this in any way? And your reaction to it?
Seriously? Geez, I didn't know that.
Does this mean you want to do the draft over?
Man, would have never taken him.
He was baffled to hear
this. I don't know
this.
If that was a loser.
Well, you don't think he had any idea?
I think that was kind of the tone. I feel like if you were in the room, you'd know that he maybe had an idea.
You're telling me that Andy Reid had no idea?
No, I think he did.
So that's what I was saying. You just own up to it.
I think him and Nagy probably both knew that he was getting floated information.
Well, Nagy,
confirmation
Nagy
bias.
Gave him the information.
Maybe Andy Reid knew about it in the moment, too.
That's what I thought. He could have just said, yeah, we did it, and we're happy.
It wasn't as funny as the reporters laughing
at it. The reporters were like, oh, Andy Reid.
Yeah, that's
You're
anyone,
hilarious.
Though. If anyone says even remotely comical in a press conference involving a sports coach or sports player, mm-hmm. an athlete or coach, it is the most hilarious thing in the world.
All right, last one here before we say goodbye. A potential winner is us, Winter Meetings MLB, about to set the stage in San Diego. First time that they've been held in person for the last couple of years. Jeff Passan says real movement could happen. This year we saw Jacob deGrom kind of set the stage with that, with a big signing. So maybe we'll have some news this week about your Toronto Blue Jays. And obviously John Morosi, he's probably firing up the Twitter feed for us.
Hope so. They got work to do. That means Morosi's got work to do. He'll hook us up. He always does.
All right, that's it for winners and losers. That's it for us this Monday morning. Boston Celtics are in town to play as Toronto Raptors tonight at 7:30, and then you've got Saints and Bucks to finish out your Monday Night Football. We'll be back tomorrow morning to tee up the battle of the hot streaks, the Stars and the Leafs, tomorrow night. Thanks for listening. We'll chat with you tomorrow.